Hi, this is Alan.
And the Grizz.
And just a few quick messages before the start of the episode. First of all, thank you very much for listening to Rise of the Robots. If you can, we really appreciate it if you can rate and review us at the end of the episode, obviously, on your podcatcher of choice. Ratings and reviews are how we get onto the charts. Really, we would really appreciate it. Also, if you subscribe on your podcaster of choice, that'd be fantastic. We are going to be airing episodes every Monday. Also, if you want to get in contact with us, well, you can email us at rotrpodcast@gmail.com.
You can also get in touch with us on our Facebook, which is Rise of the Robots, and our Twitter, at podcastrotr. That's podcast R-O-T-R.
And finally, just a reminder that Rise of the Robots is held under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 4.0 International License. Enjoy the episode. Ready to go?
Yep.
So. Oh boy. Let's get nuts.
Let's. Welcome to Rise of the Robots. I'm the Grizz.
I'm Alan.
And today we are covering Heat M of Series 3 of Robot Wars.
That is M for... My God, what a lineup!
For... interesting.
Yeah. This episode, particularly after last week's episode.
Yes. Let's just say, like, the quality of robots definitely picked up.
In fact, even to the point where the substitute robots that don't get an introduction are awesome. We start off with our lineup, which is former semi-finalists. Plunderstorm.
A.K.A. Plunderstorm 3, apparently.
Yep. Next up is Zeus. Anyway, Scudder's Revenge. Cassius 2. Yes, that Cassius. Pussycat.
Meow.
Hammerhead. Dundee. And, as of yet, unannounced 8 Robot. Yes.
Where are you, 8th Robot?
After this, Craig Charles at one point goes, people say that you should do this at home, but I don't have a high-tech arena or a flame pit at home. Really, Craig? Because I do.
Man, you must be a rich man.
No, I just have a flame-throwing weed killer.
Fair. Fair indeed.
We'll get into our first match.
We shall indeed, as... From Barnstable, Hammerhead.
Which actually looks like a pretty solid bot. It's a bot robot with some curves to it. It has an axe hammer, which is powerful enough to get it stuck on the arena.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's actually not a bad robot. If it had been in another heat, it might even have done well.
Yeah. Maybe. Potentially.
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 It's very, compared with his to his Hydra, the sort of...
Ah, from BattleBots?
No, from Robot Wars, the one that has the flipper axe combination.
Morris?
No, Hydra. Right, anyway... Its opponent.
From Gloucestershire. Gloucestershire? From Gloucestershire. Pussycat.
That's staying in.
As I said pussycat, like, Taco just went... So if that caught on my mic, that's going to sound good.
Absolutely. So Pussycat is a sort of square cone-shaped robot with... four wheels that are placed in this really bizarre fashion that means virtually every angle it lands on, it can drive.
Yeah. Season 3 Pussycat is really weird.
It's really weird. And at first you go, it shouldn't work.
Yeah.
But it does.
Oh, it so does. Like, Pussycat is one of the most interestingly designed robots ever. And, you know, like, thankfully, it hasn't been, but I am surprised that there is not Pussycat clones, like how there's Razor or Chaos or Cassius clones.
I get the impression it's maybe quite unique to drive. It's interesting because, obviously, David Gribble, who is the driver this season, also drove Bodyhammer, which apparently, according to the video that was shown in this episode, must not have had any wheels.
Yeah, apparently.
Which is, what on earth is he talking about?
It's back with wheels this time. Wait.
What?
So how the fuck did Bodyhammer drive? Did it have tracks?
It floated on a cushion of air.
Oh, so.
This battle is very strange. Pussycat actually seems to have a saw that can cut things. Well, it gets a good degree of cuts and sparks off of Hammerhead. Though, notably, it doesn't cut through the armor entirely.
Mm-hmm.
Hammerhead at one point gets stuck on the floor because it impales itself.
Yeah, like, it goes to show that there is some power behind that axe. Or either that, or it goes to show how soft the floor is. Yeah.
So eventually Pussycat is able to nag Hammerhead into the pit.
Yeah, which is not something that Pussycat tends to do very often.
Yeah.
I think that one hit that Hammerhead hit with his axe as well killed the axe.
Yeah, unfortunately.
In fact, it may have killed the whole robot, maybe. Oh, no, it still moves kind of, I suppose.
Yeah. Next up is Cassius 2. And after reintroducing Bodyhammer, this is when I start to become very conscious. This heat very much has a lot of filler. There's a lot of filler in this episode.
Because, like, most of the matches are pretty short.
Yeah. Our next match is...
From Suffolk, Cassius 2.
Which now has a much larger flipper, looks a lot more stable, and has a new hidden weapon.
Mm.
A Cassius 2. It's interesting. I think Chaos 2 and Cassius 2 swapped armors.
It seems that way.
Because now Cassius is the one that's polycarbonate and see-through.
Yeah.
And
that's
actually
an interesting shout. From Bristol, Dundee.
Which couldn't be more Crocodilotron if it tried.
Probably could have been more. Could have been a bit bigger.
Could have been a bit bigger. So it's a very similar setup to Crocodilotron. It's actually a team that faced Cassius before.
So what you're saying is Dundee, Crocodilotron, robot tag team.
Yes. And we could call it the Cassius Chaos Jobbers.
Oh man, if that's the case, you should have Cassius and Chaos 2 as the team.
But
the two bot power trip.
They would be a team. But they would be a team. Jesus.
Yeah. The two bomb power. Well, yeah, considering like one of the team members that was originally on Robot the Bruce and Chaos is in Team Cassius now, like.
Well, I know that it is a fight that happened. Was there are pictures of Cassius 2 and Chaos 2 fighting on a road?
Was it not? It was Cassius 1, I think, that was in that fight.
Cassius 1, yeah.
God, why wouldn't you just record that for shits and giggles?
I don't know. So this fight is actually closer than you'd think.
Yeah, like Dundee is definitely, it's not a slouch of a robot.
Absolutely not. It's out the gate very fast, At first, it actually is pressuring Cassius.
Yeah, I don't know if you finished that thought, but yeah, this is a rematch from Season 2 when Cassius took on Loco.
Yeah.
I think you started to say it and I interrupted you.
It was a very fast match. It was basically Loco drives up Cassius, Cassius flips it. So Dundee does do better. Unfortunately, it's the same fate. Eventually, Cassius gets underneath it and flips it.
But I'm pretty sure right as it flips it, it ceases cold, which is good.
Yeah. Certainly the house robots don't attack Dundee. Cassius tries to go for Matilda.
Yeah.
And Shunt takes it very personally.
Oh yeah, defending the honor.
And it punctures Cassius.
Oh yeah.
Just goes straight through.
This is the kind of question that we have here for this kind of circumstance is the armor of Cassius 2 not as good as Cassius 1, or is this just showing that Shun is better built this season than it was for Season 2?
Or is it 3? Cassius 1 never got hit.
I'm pretty sure it must have got hit during like the gauntlet or something. Surely.
If it did, I don't remember it.
Yeah, granted, neither can I. Also, the fact that Cassius has the body that can move up and down to get under opponents and all that is just very funny to watch because it just looks so wobbly sometimes. And I know that's kind of the whole point of it, but sometimes it just kind of looks a bit drunk.
Yep.
Hi guys, Alan
and the Grizz
here with a slight break from the main show. Just say thanks to the people about whom this podcast would not be possible. Firstly, to Greg Watt, who designed the Rise of the Robots logo, before I butchered it slightly.
Also want to give a quick shout out to Technolax, who do our theme song, Master Machine. You can check out Technolax on YouTube or their website at technolax.com to listen to all of their royalty-free tracks.
So,
it's amusing.
On to our third match.
I mean, you better watch out. Because, from Hampshire, Plunderstorm.
With Plunderstorm's back, it has still got the front scoop. This time it's got a new spike format, a slightly different shape. It also looks like it was meant to have a saw, but the blade's not on for the fight. This robot cost 20 Chaos 2s.
Yo, wowie.
Yeah.
I can't help but think, is Plunderstorm Plunderbird 1 being rebuilt, or is this a brand new build?
I'm not sure. I'm honestly not sure.
Because I think it looks a lot like Plunderbird 1.
Well, I don't know how much of Plunderbird 1 was in Plunderbird 2. Anyway, its opponent.
From Norwich, Thermidor.
So this is the original version of Thermidor. Didn't get an introduction, which is a shame, because it's actually quite a good little bot. It is an invertible claw bot with rear cutting disc and a cute face.
It is kind of cute. How much it took for me to not see Thermidor 2 there, because it's just how much Thermidor 2 is a thing from the next season onwards.
Two, isn't it?
Yeah, when we try, when we I had to call it Chaos 1 purposely.
I get the impression Thermidor 2 is one of these robots. I think it's a bit of a flatter to deceive robot. Because when you actually look at its record isn't that good.
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
It's a bit like a slightly higher level Weldor.
That's exactly what I was about to compare it to, because we were talking about that not that long ago. few episodes ago when we seemed to remember Wildor doing pretty well, and then when you look back at it, you're like, no, it didn't really.
Yeah. Thermidor does dominate this fight.
Yep.
It's the plunder flop.
Yeah. Not that Plunderbird ever tends to do that well. But
the semi-final one, yeah?
Yeah, that was the best it ever done. But, you know, activate happens, and all of a sudden, Plunderbird can't drive on one side.
Yep, it's only got one track working.
Fantastic.
So the robot that costs... I mean, guys... Just call George Francis, say, we've got the money, you've got the talent, let's make lots of bodies. Let's make the chaos storm.
Yeah.
So, eventually... Matilda and Shunt go after Plunderbird. There's this moment that you don't see where it's just Thermidor and Dead Metal standing in front of each other.
Aww.
And I just like to think it's like...
Daddy?
Daddy?
Papa?
Papa? No. No. The video game version that's pink. That's the one that's your papa.
Ah, yeah. And also technically, well, I suppose Dead Metal is a guy in these seasons.
Dead Metal is, yeah, papa.
Or mama.
Not even close, babe. Anyway, we get backstage. And normally we don't talk about the backstage other than Philippa's awesome.
Oh, she is. Like, there is a lot. There's a lot of banter we sometimes go over at times, but
Philippa is broken. She's so broken. I'm half expecting her to go, yes.
Wonderful.
Because the Plunderbird team are getting laughed out of the building. They try and rap their way out of it. And you can just... There's just a video shot of Philippa trying so hard to stop laughing.
Yeah. She's just cackling so hard. And then... The best bit is just when they do their rap, it's like, there's a plunder storm coming! Next year. The really and gets then,
and so then we have the Plunderbird team off to help everyone else build their robot for the rest of the series. Because that's what they do, apparently. They're good people.
Yeah. Is this the year that they win the Sportsmanship Award?
It's either this year or the previous year. I mean, can you imagine, actually, I know I say about Plunder, Storm, and Chaos 2. Can you imagine, see if you got the Deotol team who help everyone. If you'd got Rex Garrod, if you'd got the Plunder, Storm team, what sort of creation that those guys together could create?
Probably the next
and robot. And it'd be the friendliest bot ever.
Yeah. Between all of them, they could create probably the ultimate house robot. And that's saying something when you have Mr. Psycho and Sir Kill-A-Lot on your roster of house robots.
Yep. So, we get on to the final battle.
Yes, we get on to... Bark, bark.
Westie is the bestie.
From Wiltshire, Zeus.
Which is a very strangely shaped robot.
Yeah.
It's got a pickaxe, a scoop, a bit high off the ground, unfortunately.
Yeah. And from Essex, Scutter's Revenge.
Which is a wall. This robot is just the wall. It is a giant box bot. It has 6-wheel drive, and it has a bulldozer scoop on the front. It looks incredible.
But who is Scutter?
Not a clue.
Good.
Who on earth would call their robot Something's Revenge? That's ridiculous.
Well, not if there wasn't a something to begin with. Like,
who on earth would take a box, put wheels on it, and a scoop at the front and call it Something's Revenge? That's just dumb.
Yeah, I bet that guy smells as well.
Absolutely. And I bet that
Oh, damn it.
Anyway, if this crisis is good for one thing, at least people are indoors for a period of time to finish their beetle weights.
Ooh.
Anyway, we'll talk about beetle weights later. This match, it's quite slow. And then there's this awesome moment where basically Scutter's Revenge is sort of ambling over and continues on at the exact same speed as if nothing is in front of it.
Well, nothing was in front of it.
And then it then proceeds to push Zeus towards the pit. As this is happening, Zeus tries to bring down its pickaxe to serve as sort of like something to nail it to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And it snaps. Because it puts the pickaxe down and then Scutter's Revenge just keeps going and it snaps. And then Scutter's Revenge pits Zeus and yeah, that's the end of the first round battles. But then, all of a sudden, drama.
Ooh.
Someone in the audience was found with a transmitter.
More on this as it develops.
Yes, because we need to fill time, because what happens next is very quickly dealt with.
Very fat? Yeah,
I was going to say very fast, and I went, no, it's very quickly dealt with. It's certainly not fast.
It is the opposite of fast.
So, the trial is a walker battle.
Yay.
So, the two robots are Mammoth, which is big, and Arachnid.
Which is not.
It has 12 legs. I believe the weapons are there, but no one cares.
Yeah, like Arachnid's team are literally like, oh, it's got no armor, it's got no weapons, but it's got legs.
And then the fight starts, and it takes a minute for the robots to start rubbing against each other.
Yes, because Mammoth,
throughout the whole fight, Mammoth doesn't move.
Yeah, Mammoth is broken. Only half of his legs work on one side, so it just shakes violently.
Anarachnid is slowly crawling over. They cut to one of the teams. I think it's the Anarachnid team. And they just look embarrassed.
Well, maybe it's the Mammoth team, because they should be.
And then Anarachnid starts to rub against Mammoth. Sergeant Bash gets bored and sets Mammoth on fire.
Thank you, Bash. Something in this match. Sergeant Bash attacking Mammoth gave something to the match because there was nothing going on. And then the house robots just decide, fuck this. And then they slaughter the two of them. And I had put in my notes at the start of this match, I was like, I knew Anarachnid won because Mammoth didn't do anything. So I was like, why don't you have Anarachnid versus Miss Strutson and try and make it like a mini tournament. But the end of the match, when you just seen Anarachmid in the claws of Dead Metal, and it's like, oh wow, all 12 of his tiny little legs have completely snapped off. And it's like, that's probably why.
It just disintegrates, and then they say, oh, it's a draw.
No, it's not a fucking draw, because Mammoth didn't move.
Anarachmid moved.
Yeah, Mammoth was fucking immobilized from the word go. Oh, so if that's the case and it's a draw, then that means Plunderbird drew and it's match earlier. That's essentially what you're saying to us.
Absolutely. So, we get a reveal of who the cheater was.
Oh, it's Tornado.
No, it's the first Beetleweight.
Oh. I wonder what
we see. Oh. It was in a little box. It's adorable.
It's like, look at its tiny little spikes.
And we also meet, at this point, we meet the technical team. I think it's Derek Foxwell.
Mm-hmm.
That actually, the talks. We're going to be seeing a bit of him later.
Oh, yeah.
So we get on to first...
The one little bit where Philippa holds up the Beetleweight and holds it next to Sir Kill-A-Lot and is like, yeesh.
Yeesh.
Considering there are like one or two lightweight matches that happen over the next couple of seasons.
Yeah. Anyway, we get on to the first semi-final. And if you told me that this had been the grand final of the entire tournament, I could have believed you.
Yes.
Pussycat versus Cassius 2. And Cassius is being driven manically.
Mm.
It is charging at incredible speed. At one point, it even lines its back up to Pussycat, and out of nowhere comes the greatest pneumatic spike to ever appear in Robot Wars.
1,000,000%. Like, that thing almost sent Pussycat over the barricade.
Here's the thing. If they had petted Pussycat, what would they have done? Would they have just gone, shit. Because
driving the pet.
Cassius goes for a charge backwards into Pussycat. Pussycat dodges out of the way at the last possible second.
Mm.
And I'll tell you this much, if this was a fix, it was the most convincing fix in history.
Yeah.
Because genuinely, it looks like, oh no, it was an accident.
Oh no, Cassius got Eric'd.
And the one thing that is clear is Rex Garrod, Isla Rex Garrod, this whole thing of, oh, he processed that. Either it's all bollocks, which I don't think it is. Or Rex Garrod genuinely could have been a pro wrestling manager because he fucking sold it.
Oh yeah.
Like, he plays perfectly for the camera.
Yeah, it was kind of the way that he was speaking to Craig Charles afterwards. It's like, my money was on you again. He was like, oh, well, you've lost it again.
Yeah, and he talks to Philippa and he's nice to Philippa. And then they say, oh, so you're just going to go around helping everyone else now? And he said, yep.
Pretty much.
The one thing then maybe slightly over egg. No, it was Mike Cutter who was driving. Mike Cutter was driving.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely wasn't Rex.
They made it so obvious.
Deliberately drive into the pit.
Yeah. They made it.
I believe Mike Cutter has since confirmed. No, we threw the fight. We absolutely threw the fight. We knew that we were throwing the fight. We went in with the assumption we were throwing the fight.
Hmm. Oh, well. Yeah, it is just really sad, though.
I mean, I still maintain, and I will say this to the end, why didn't the producer, the first thing they should have done, now I know that they did the steering committee, which was an attempt to do something similar, genuinely turn around to Rex Garrett and go, okay, fine. You're in charge of, you're in charge of the set of the rules. You can decide the set of rules. You can tell us what the level is. You can tell us what's safe. You know better than most of us what you're actually talking about.
Yeah.
But they didn't do that. And as such, and this fall, we will never see Rex Garrett on film fighting a robot ever again. And I know you've said it as, and I've said it as well, Rex Garrett was a hero of ours growing up.
Mm-hmm.
He was the reason he was the reason why I designed a robot. He's the reason, he's the reason that I put dog balls on my remote control car. And this is his last appearance. This is the last time we see him.
Oh, it's a damn shame.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on, because,
It's frustrating well as being sad.
Legitimately, I'm trying not to cry.
Yeah.
Legitimately, I'm actually trying not to cry. So, Thermidor versus Scutter. Thermidor versus Scutter's Revenge.
Yeah.
This is an interesting fight because it goes very quickly.
Very quickly.
And what happens is, initially, Thermidor's a lot faster, so it's able to get side on to Scutter's Revenge.
It actually shows its own
It's got a bit of power. It then goes, right, I can't get a good grip. I've got to get around the front of the robot. And the second that it does that, you almost see Scutter's Revenge go, oh, you want a pushing match?
How and about this then?
All of a sudden, yeah, it is. It's that moment of going, Thermidor gets face forward and go, oh, fuck.
You know, he's done fucked up, right?
Yeah. On the plus side, Thermidor will be back and better than ever, and Scutter's Revenge will be back later in this episode.
Yes. And that brings us on.
Scutter's Revenge are actually, low key, are probably one of the most incredible teams in terms of diverse and awesome robots.
Yeah, it's an interesting team, and a lot of interesting robots that come out of the team.
Yep.
Hey guys, Alan here. Just taking a quick break from the podcast to let you know that if you are enjoying this podcast and you want to hear more, the whole archive is available either on your podcatcher of choice or on the Audio Boom website. Alternatively, if there is some other podcasts you would like to listen to between listening to us, there is a list published on the Robot Report of several of the most popular podcasts, a podcast list, as it's referred to on the website. We will have a link in the description of this podcast. So, on the podcast list at the Robot Report, it lists the podcast in question, a quick description about the podcast, and all the links that you can go on to access their episodes. The podcasts that are listed include Behind the Bots, Extreme Scrutiny Club, Roasting Robots, Roboteers Stand By, The Drop Zone, The Robocast, The Robot Wars History Podcast, The Shuntcast, and of course, Rise of the Robots. So if you check out that page, it will give you plenty of listening between now and your next episode. of Rise of the Robots. Let's get back to the final part of this week's episode.
So, we get to the final. Pussycat versus Scutter's Revenge, which isn't even... I don't even think is a better lineup than Isle of the semi-final matches.
Yes.
This is producer fuckery. Because what happens... I mean, it's not hard to tell that they've got a different blade on. Pussycat. I think they dub in a sound effect here. Because the sound that the saw makes is weird.
Yeah, well, as you say, it looks different because, you know, it's a different colour.
It's a different colour. So, the fight starts. And Jonathan Pierce, who's recording obviously after the fact, goes, "Is that a different blade?" Like, really over-eggs saying that.
Oh, yeah.
The point where you tell he's been told to say that.
Yeah.
And then what that happens is Pussycat comes against the wall and the saw blade just shatters. And the rest of the match is just Jonathan Pierce going, "Oh, Pussycat might get disqualified. Pussycat might get disqualified. Pussycat might get disqualified. Pussycat..."
Well, I think the judges will need to come in here and say about this.
Now, they do very clearly show a video from the judge's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is cool. I wish we'd see more from that shot. All seriousness. I think it's a cool shot.
I can't help but feel as if, like, if the judges were going to deem that Pussycat was disqualified, they should have showed, like, a shot of the judges and them, like, waving their arms and being like, "No, that's it," and then just stopping the fight. I feel like that would have added a bit of drama.
I think that's the thing I thought is, because they go on about how dangerous it is, and you're sitting there going, so the second it happens, you call cease. Because that's the whole idea is, oh no, we need to be safe. There you go. Something unsafe happened. Call cease.
Yeah, exactly.
What happens instead is the fight continues, and Scutter's Revenge dies and starts to smoke.
Yeah.
And gets burned in the flame pit and floor flipped.
Floor flipped.
And I actually think that they recorded it as if Pussycat won. I actually think they recorded the interviews and all that.
Uh-huh.
Because it's a weird cut.
Oh, it is.
So, they end up going... To be fair, Jonathan Pierce does say, "I don't think the Pussycat guys knew that blade wasn't allowed." And when you hear their interpretation of what happened, they said, "If we'd been told by Alan Gribble, oh no, don't use that blade. You can't use that blade because it's hardened."
Yeah.
Because they just wouldn't have done it out of, "No, you don't want to use a hardened blade. It'll shatter. There's no, you know, there's no effect. That's not going to be an effective weapon. It'll shatter the second you hit something."
Yeah.
Now, the net result of this is that because Pussycat used the hardened blade, the judges came to the decision that they must disqualify Pussycat.
For health and safety.
This is after Pussycat clearly won the match.
Mm-hmm.
This is where it gets to more producer fuckery. According to the way it's shown, it's like, "Oh, Pussycat didn't tell us that they changed the blade." To which I sit there and go, "So you're telling me you don't do technical inspections before every single fight?"
Yeah.
Apparently, now Robin Herrick is on the record as saying, no. Now this is according to the Robot Fans Wikia. According to the TV edit, Cold Fusion team had failed to declare the change in weaponry in advance, although this is denied by Robin Herrick, believing that this was written in for narrative effect.
Hmm.
And what that therefore means is that because Pussycat is disqualified, Scutter's Revenge is the champion
of the Heat.
Yes. It wins. It gets the semifinals.
But I don't know, I just feel like it almost sounds as if there was, you say fuckery, but like, why would there be like actual fuckery against this team?
It's
for any other reason than what actually happened.
What I'm meaning is there is a lot of retroactive action to make it clear that Team Cold Fusion was the bad guy here.
Yeah.
And I don't think they were.
It always seems as if the producers are trying to cover their own ass for the job they didn't do.
Exactly.
Interesting.
This Heat...
Schemey.
As bad as last week's Heat was, I think this Heat has done more to hurt the reputation of the production team than the last episode hurt them in terms of quality.
Yeah.
So, let's get on to the trivia.
Let's, because this is weird.
So, Heat M. Oh, I meant to say, before we actually do that, was the right decision reached, in your opinion?
It's hard to say. I mean, in some circumstances, yes, because the thing, the blade blew up, essentially, and shards of it flew out of the arena. So it was unsafe, but it feels like the producers didn't tell them about this, or didn't do the safety checks, as you say. So it sounds as if it's, you know... Like, I mean, like, also the fact that, like, yeah, like, the blade is significantly different looking as well. It does not take a fucking genius to look at that and go, huh, that's not the blade you've been using. Are you sure that you're able to use that?
Yeah.
It's... So, maybe, but, yeah, like, kind of what we were talking about, though, is if that blade blew up in the match like it did, C should have been called immediately, and then see if they just... said right then and there, like, look, duty, health and safety, and the fact that your blade just exploded all over the arena, like, we're going to need to disqualify you because of that.
Yeah, if they'd done it that way, I actually would have... It's the fact that they continued the fight is just a bit weird. Anyway, trivia. Heat M featured two grand finalist teams from Series 1, who ended up fighting each other in the second round of the Heat. Heat M was one of two Heats in Series 3 to feature two Series 2 semi-finalists, the other being Heat G.
Weird.
Cassius 2's battle against Dundee was a grudge match from Series 2, where Cassius beat the team's old machine, Loco.
Sure was.
Series 2 semi-finalist Plunderstorm fell in round 1 and Cassius 2 were eliminated in round 2, possibly one of the biggest shocks in the series. Heat M was therefore the last appearance of Rex Gang, disgusted by the lack of safety measures in place. That's the actual thing it says in the Robot Wars fans wikia.
Wow.
Interestingly, Heat M was also the only time in all Robot Wars where a robot was disqualified for a safety violation whilst competing. The only other example of a robot being disqualified was Muller, which was disqualified before it got into the arena.
Yes.
Also at the same event.
It was, yes.
This Heat also featured accusations of cheating, as a radio transmitter was confiscated from an audience member. Though this turned out to be a false alarm, the transmitter, in fact, belonged to an ant weight called Tyrant, no bigger than Sakilla rear plates, that the audience had created.
So we learned it.
So for unknown reasons, Philippa Forrester only introduced robots during a pit report at the beginning of the lineup. Thermidor was not seen in the pits and is only introduced to during the round one lineup.
Weird.
Also, for an unknown reason, the opening title recap was not structured sequentially, unlike the preceding clips. It also did not feature any clips from Heat B, won by Pitbull, and Heat T, which I can't remember who won it off the top of my head. It was won by Big Brawler.
Right.
Right, so that brings us to... Well, this is a difficult one. Who was the underperformer?
Cassius 2.
Is it an underperformer if it did it deliberately?
Yes.
Okay.
Because if you're just looking at it from, like, the magical world of just watching it as a TV show, definitely.
Yeah.
If you didn't know any of the backstage hoopla that was going on and you just took Cassius 2 accidentally driving in the pit as,
yeah,
you know, your word for it, then yeah, definitely Cassius 2.
Yeah. So, overperformer, I think, is fairly obvious as well. In a heat with Pussycat, a future grand finalist, Cassius, a previous two-time grand finalist, Scutter's Revenge is the winner with a push pot.
Has to be.
Yep. So, that's fairly clear. I think it's fair to say Pussycat most improved?
Probably, yeah. And it only goes on to improve more and more.
Yeah, there is a part of me that really wishes we had seen Pussycat in the semifinals, because I'd been interested to see how this robot would have done against our opposition.
Yeah.
Particularly considering, and we'll get to this in Series 4, I genuinely think the Pussycat run in Series 4 is the single greatest run that any robot ever has and not win the championship.
Wow.
Because it's a run that beats Dominator 2, Razor, and Hypnodisc.
Yeah, it does. You're right. And broke my literal heart.
So as for best newcomer, I think Scutter's Revenge is actually legitimately a phenomenally impressive robot.
Yeah, it's got like really good pushing power, and I mean, there's not really much.
None of the other newcomers are really that impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the fact that it pushes into Zeus and just doesn't even slow down when it touches Zeus.
Yeah, I mean, Zeus was a pretty small robot, so.
Yeah. Well, you say that, it's still the thick end of 70 kilos.
I suppose, but it just shows the power behind Scutter's Revenge, I suppose.
Yep. So, this is actually the end of our current taping.
We're only 3 heats left until the semi-finals.
Only 3 heats left till the semi-finals, indeed.
Mm.
So next week, we are going to have Heat N featuring, amongst other things, Thing 2 and the return of the robot that won prizes in America for fantastic driving, Kilohertz.
And where is Thing 1?
Thing 1, I think, was called Demon.
Oh, no. No, not Demon.